This is Bill Woods coming to you from beautiful Sun Valley, where there doesn't seem to be much sun today and the wind's blowing, and it's just kind of one of those blustery kind of days that you would expect this time of year. I wanted to talk to you today about something I think is very important, and that would be justification. I have entitled this message, Justified Freely by the Blood of the Lamb. Now imagine you were arrested and had to go to court to face some charges that were levied against you. The day came for your trial and you were a nervous wreck because you didn't know what to expect. You go into the courtroom and you sit there and the bailiff calls for one case after another and he doesn't ever seem to get around to calling your case. In fact, your case hasn't come up now for a great part of the day. Finally, you ask the bailiff why you haven't been called. So he checks the record and says, oh, someone else has paid your fine. You're free to go just as if you had never guilty. Justification, God's act of removing the guilt and penalty of sin while at the same time declaring a sinner righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. Righteousness from God is viewed as being credited to the sinner's account through faith alone, without works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11 says, therefore, we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. This hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. What a tremendous thought that is. You know, a New York divorce lawyer died and arrived at the pearly gates. Peter asked him, what have you done to deserve entrance into heaven? Well, the lawyer thought for a moment. He said, a week ago I gave a quarter to a homeless person on the street. Peter asked Gabriel to check this out in the record, and after a moment, Gabriel affirmed that this was true. Peter said, well, that's fine, but it's not really quite enough to get you into heaven. The lawyer said, wait, there's more. 3 years ago, I also gave a homeless person a quarter. Peter nodded to Gabriel, who after a moment nodded back, affirming this was verified. Peter whispered to Gabriel, well, what do you suggest we do with this fellow? Gabriel said to Peter, let's give him back his 50 cents and tell him to go to hell. You know, many people think they can argue their way into heaven. I used to work with an older lady when I was in Seattle. Her name was Lee. And one of the things, she was a wicked old lady, the bad mouth and just a bad attitude all over. But one day she told me she was going to set God straight when she saw him after she died and she had to stand before him. She was going to let him know that she didn't like how he ran the world. Well, you know, I don't think she even got the opportunity to air her grievances to the Lord. You know, once a person dies and passes into the next life, there won't be any pride or arrogance or arguing. It'll be a done deal. A person's eternal destiny will be sealed because it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And therefore, whatever we do when the time of death comes, we're going to face in judgment. Hebrews 9:27, and I just said it, just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. We want to justify ourselves. We know what we're talking about. We're right. It doesn't make any difference who you are or what you've done for a living. It doesn't make any difference what it is or who it is. We all want to justify ourselves as being right or justify ourselves as at what we're doing. When it comes to being justified before God, there's only one person who's right and knows the way to justification. And our text is clear about justification before God. He knows best. We play by His rules only. Paul defines how we are justified. We're justified through faith. We're justified at the right time, and we're justified by His blood. And so I want to kind of look at this a little bit, these three different things. Justified through faith. In Romans 5:1-2, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserving privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I heard a story. It was a story. It said this guy named Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day and accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. He grabbed a branch which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and to his horror, saw the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. Jack began yelling for help, hoping someone passing by would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! He yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice, Jack, Jack, can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you and where are you? I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere. The Lord? You mean God? Yes, Jack, that's me. God, please help me. I promise if you'll get me out down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be ready, a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you off from there, and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I'll do that, Lord. I'll do anything. Just tell me what to do. Okay, let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go. There was a long silence, and Jack yelled, help, help, is anyone else up there? You know, our salvation or justification is still a matter of faith. Some people say, well, I'm just too sinful. I don't think God can forgive me. Let go of that argument and cast yourself on God's mercy. God said He will forgive you if you call upon Him in repentance and faith. Satan can't put anything in your life so deep that the blood of Jesus Christ can't go deeper and cleanse. Have faith in God's promises. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Faith is how we're justified before God. Salvation or justification starts and ends with faith. It's faith that led you to believe God existed. If you're a Christian, the starry universe, the panoramic beauty of the creation, plants and animals, newborn babies, and so many other things led you to believe in our Creator God. Faith in God led you to believe the Bible. Faith that the Bible is God's word led you to believe in Jesus. Your faith in Jesus led you to trust him for your salvation. Faith in God's word led you to confess your faith in Christ. Faith in what God said about sin led you to repent of your sin, along with the conviction of the Holy Spirit working with you. Faith in God and his word leads you to daily prayer, I hope, Bible reading, wanting to live a clean life, to witness, to give, and this leads you to a church on Sunday. It's faith in the Lord that leads to live for him as best you can. As you age, it's faith in God that keeps you going when you don't feel like it. And as you near death, it'll be faith that will cause you to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation and say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." It'll be faith that may cause you to pray, "Lord, you can take me home anytime you want me." It's all a matter of faith, a faith that can cause you to trust and obey him. Then justified at the right time. Romans 5, 6 through 9 says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for our sins." Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. God is just at the right time. You know, there are times when it doesn't seem like it, but God is there. He's always there on time, and it's always the right time. Our daughter Tammy was born on March 5th, on an undisclosed year quite a while back. We brought her home from the hospital, and she started vomiting after every feeding. In fact, she started projectile vomiting every time Marty fed her. That means that, whoosh, the vomit would come out with such force. It was like clockwork. You could almost count on the seconds after feeding her that it'd be forcibly come gushing out and you'd better be ready. That went on for several days, every time Marty fed her. Tammy was losing weight. She soon was below her birth weight, which scared us to death. Because we knew this wasn't normal, we called for an appointment with a well-respected pediatrician in Spokane, 100 miles away. And on April 12th, we saw the doctor. He said, "Take your baby to the Holy Family Hospital in Spokane to have tests run." It was Easter weekend. We loaded Tammy back into our old 1958 Ford with the bald tires and not much gas and a huge variety of mechanical issues and started for the hospital. Marty hadn't even brought a change of clothes with her. As at the hospital, our tiny little Tammy was put in a room with a very sick baby boy in an incubator. He had tubes fastened all over his head and chest, and his breathing was very shallow. In fact, he looked like pictures that you see from the Holocaust victims from Nazi prison camps. We asked what was wrong with that little boy. The nurse said he has what your daughter has. Well, talk about throwing fuel on the panic that two very young, frightened parents ever felt. That was the time that, man, panic really hit. I had to leave Marty with no change of clothes, no toothbrush, or no money. It was Easter weekend, and I had to get back to my church at Grand Coulee, Washington, for Sunday services. I left my young, frightened wife and my precious baby at the hospital, not knowing what was happening or how we'd even pay for it. A Spokane Nazarene pastor and his wife let Marty clean up and stay at their home. On my way home to Grand Coulee, I had a blowout. One of my bald tires just gave out. I put an even worse-looking spare on the car and crippled back to Grand Coulee. I got to the parsonage late Saturday afternoon. I had to work on my Easter sermons, both the sunrise and the regular sermon. I had to make a bulletin, even as exhausted as I felt. I climbed through the front basement window down into my office and tried to work. The basement stairs had collapsed, and the only way to my office was through that window. Well, wouldn't you know, the mimeograph machine decided to add stress to my life and kept jamming the paper. I finally was so frustrated, I picked it up and slammed it to the floor. Funny, it seemed to work after that. Next morning, I dragged myself to the sunrise service and later struggled through the morning worship service. After service, the church treasurer came and told me there wasn't money to pay me my $40 salary that week. I said, "Find the money or you won't have a pastor next week." And he gave me this song and dance about the Apostle Paul never demanded money. I said, the Apostle Paul never had a wife and baby in Spokane Hospital and had to get back to them. Monday, I went to a nearby service station and begged a well-worn tire and started back to Spokane, apprehensive about my family. By this time, the doctors had done a regimen of x-rays and tests and found that Tammy had a malfunctioning esophagus that wasn't closing to hold her food down like it was supposed to. She'd eat, and she'd immediately vomit it right back up. They called it projectile vomiting. Oh my goodness, what can we do? What's next? The doctor said she might need surgery, but we'd try something else first. He recommended a heavy formula that might force the food to stay down long enough to nourish her. Marty was to add cream of rice cereal to her formula and see what happens. After feeding Tammy, Marty was to hold her for half an hour before burping her. Tammy would still expel much of her formula, but enough stayed down to nourish her. When Marty would lift her to her shoulder, out would come a gusher of her formula. Actually, Marty got pretty good at aiming that projectile vomiting towards people who annoyed her. Was that doctor correct in what he said and what he did? Apparently so, because praise God, our daughter has another birthday in just a couple weeks on March 5th. Marty advised me not to tell Tammy's age, but I will say all this happened years ago, and she hasn't had any abdominal problems other than the normal stuff. I'd say our pediatrician and the medical staff stepped in just the right time to save Tammy, at just the right time. Isn't it wonderful when anyone steps in at just the right time to save us, to help us, to give us guidance, to protect us, to provide for us? Well, you know, God stepped in at just the right time in history, sending Jesus into the world to save us. Galatians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I like to read this text this way. At just the right time, God sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. He did. God's timing is perfect. We might not always think that God's timing is perfect, but when we look back, we see he was working out. He stepped into our lives at just the right time. Aren't you glad that God knows what time it is and when the right time is? Then we are justified by his blood. Romans 5, 9 through 11, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I read about Joe Kurkowski, America's champion blood donor. The American Association of Blood Banks honored the 62-year-old retired security guard at a special presentation in Chicago in 2013. Mr. Kurkowski lost an arm in an accident when he was 6 years old. Because of that, he was rejected for military service in World War II. Since then, he has donated nearly 31 gallons of blood. Now, the human body contains 10 to 12 pints of blood. So Joe's donated more than 20 times that amount. And he said, giving blood makes you feel like you're contributing life itself. There's no more precious gift than life. Money can't buy the joy of giving blood to help someone who needs it. Kurkowski may have given more blood than most, but I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ gave the very best. Hebrews chapter 9 says in verses 12 through 14, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls, the ashes of a young cow, could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, why did God make shedding of blood a law for the forgiveness of sin? Well, you know, I really don't know, but I do know he did. I think it was an object lesson for us to understand how serious sin really is. I'm just thankful that it was Christ's blood and not my own, and there isn't enough animals in the world for their blood to take away the sin of mankind. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that man can be saved. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 21, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as ransom long before the world began, and he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. A Calcutta paper reported a young Hindu came to the house of a missionary for an interview. During the conversation, he said, many things which Christianity contains are found in Hinduism, but there's one thing which Christianity has that Hinduism does not. What's that? The missionary asked. His reply was striking. A savior. Thank God he sent Jesus in the world to save us by his blood, by his perfect sacrifice on the cross. You know, there's no better and no sacrifice better than Jesus. A man in England put his Rolls Royce on a boat and went across the continent to go on a vacation trip. While he was driving around Europe, something happened to the motor of his car. He called the Rolls-Royce people back in England and asked, I'm having trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? Well, the Rolls-Royce people flew a mechanic over. The mechanic repaired the car and flew back to England. The man continued his vacation. The fellow wondered, how much is this going to cost me? When he got back to England, he wrote a letter asking how much he owed them. He received a letter from the office that read, Dear Sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce. This is what we have in Christ. In Christ, it's as if there was never anything wrong with us. It's called justification. I've heard people say it stands for just as if I'd never sinned. It's called salvation. You can be justified and have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, all because of what he's done for you on the cross. Praise God. I hope you'll find Jesus as your personal Savior, and I hope you'll let Jesus Christ add your life to his book of life so that one day we can all be together in heaven with him for all eternity. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you'll use this message for your honor and glory. I would ask Jesus that people that might listen to this today, maybe if they don't know you as their personal Savior, will realize that we are justified by faith through Christ Jesus. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't earn our way to a right relationship with God, but we can accept the free gift that you have done by dying for us on a cross, by shedding your own blood, by paying the full penalty, and after your death, rising again from the grave and going to represent us in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Help us, Jesus, to realize if we confess our sins to you, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we can do an about face and start living a life of fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. I just want to tell you that if there's anything that I can ever do to help you, my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. Stands for William W. Woods at gmail.com. My mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. And if you want to call for some kind of help or contact me for some kind of help, I'll do my best to pray for you, to provide whatever answers that I could come up with the guidance of God. And I just would welcome you to get into God's family and know Him personally. God bless you, and thank you.